Title of my message is that heaven is a holy place. Heaven is a holy place. Bible verse comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it says, "Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord." So he's encouraging us to live at peace with one another and to make every effort to be holy. And he says why it's so important to be holy, because without holiness, you're not going to be able to see God. That is, see God in the sense of dwelling in his holy presence. God is a holy God, and heaven is a holy place. So to prepare people to be able to go to heaven, we've got to encourage them to pursue this path of making every effort to be holy. So we want to see every person in this room in God's kingdom, in heaven forever. And that's why we have to encourage all of us to walk on this path of holiness. We can call it a highway of holiness. It's a narrow path. It's a straight path. Narrow path to heaven. Jesus warned us that there's a wide road, a broad road, a big road that so many people are following. It's the road of destruction. It's an unholy path. It's a path of compromise. It's a path of worldliness, evil, being unclean in your heart, not ready to go to heaven. So we have to encourage people to turn away from that path and make sure you're on this path of holiness. I remember one powerful preacher, and he was encouraged to go and talk to a certain lady to encourage her to make sure of her salvation. Now, this lady had gone to church all her life, but really she had shown no godly character. She had lived a sinful life, even though she was going to church. So just going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. That's one saying that people used to use. It's just saying that just going to church isn't going to get you to heaven. What you need is the reality of God in your heart. What do you need in your heart? You need holiness. This man of God went and talked to her to try and encourage her to change her life. And she said, "No, I'm all right. Everything's okay with me. God's already forgiven me of my sins, and I will go into heaven." And he encouraged her, what evidence do you actually have that God has really forgiven you when your life hasn't changed? Why do you think you're going to heaven? Now, if you ask the average person, "Will you go to heaven when you die?" many of them will say yes. Even if they're unsure, even if there is a heaven, they'll think, "Well, I don't know if there's a heaven, but if there is, I'm pretty good, not too bad. God will surely let me into heaven if there is one." Now, that kind of state is not the state of heart where a person is ready to go to heaven. How can they be ready to go to heaven if they hardly even know if there is a heaven? It's just wishful thinking. "Oh, God will, he will accept me. Oh, God forgives everyone." Well, there are actually conditions to who God forgives and who God doesn't forgive. There is provision for everyone to be saved, everyone to be forgiven. So in that sense, you can have forgiveness, but it's not taken for granted, or it's not automatic. It's not automatic that you're going to heaven. As we've read, you've got to make every effort to be holy, because without holiness, you will not be able to stand in the holy presence of God as one of his children, as one of his friends. Instead, you will be cast out. So he said to her, "Why do you think you're forgiven?" And she had actually had a dream when she was quite young. And that dream may have come from God. It may have just been her own mind. We don't know. But he encouraged her, "Well, you've told me the dream you had from God, but really, in that dream, there's no guarantee that God has forgiven you, or there's no assurance of salvation. Why are you putting your faith in that dream that determines that you're ready to go to heaven?" Anyway, he tried his best to share the word of God with her, that she needs holiness. She needs God's righteousness. She needs to change certain attitudes. Now, what happened was, when it came time for her to die, when she was lying on her deathbed, suddenly, it's like just before she died, she got a glimpse of the reality of God and the reality that she was not holy. And it's like she cried out in agony before she died, "I'm not holy." And in that state, she died. Now, when I think of God's plan and God's creation and how God is eternal, he alone is eternal. He's the creator of heaven and earth, and he began creating things, and he made this beautiful place called heaven. And first of all, he created these angels and these beautiful heavenly creatures. There's all kinds of creatures in heaven. And God created the angels. He created them innocent. But there's a difference between being innocent and being holy. You could say, in one sense, a little child is innocent. But for someone to go from innocent to holy, they have to choose certain things. They have to choose to reject evil, and they have to choose the holiness of God. They have to choose and embrace the character of God. Now, we have two different kinds of angels. We have the angels that walked with God, clung to God, and they made the right choice, and they are now called the holy angels. But we have another group, which we now call the evil spirits. They are the angels of the devil. They are demonic beings. Now, they were created innocent as well, but they chose to reject God. They chose to turn away from God. You know, God is perfect love, perfect righteousness, perfect justice. His character is perfect in every way. So when these angelic beings turned away from all that is good, that was the beginning of evil, because it was the rejection of God. So in one sense, God never created evil, because God has no evil in him. Evil was the rejection of God. So that's how evil first came into being. When people turned, well, the angelic beings in heaven, you know, they saw God's glory, they saw his perfect light, so they have no excuse for their sin. That's why there is no salvation for evil spirits. There is no salvation for demons. They definitely, 100%, the devil and his demons go to hell. There is no salvation for the devil. So when these beings, seeing God's perfect light, when they turned away from God, turned away from that perfect light, that was the beginning of evil, the beginning of darkness, the beginning of sin. And the leader of them is now called the devil, or Satan. And he was cast out of heaven. And those who chose that same evil path were cast out of heaven. There is a sense in which heaven was corrupted by their evil. But God had to cast them out. And that's why I'm emphasizing the point that heaven is a holy place. Heaven is a holy place. And if you want to go to heaven, you have to have that holiness outworked in you. Okay, now we come to the creation of human beings. And God, knowing that there was no salvation for the devil and his demons, because they have no excuse, he created human beings slightly different. He created them in a body of flesh and blood. That is a body that if they sinned, it would come under the curse of death, and their human body would die. You know, angels are spirits. They can't die in the sense which our human body can. So we are also a spirit, but we are placed within this body. Now, God did that knowing that we would sin, knowing that he himself would have to take upon himself a human body, Jesus Christ becoming flesh, becoming a human, so that he could pay the price for our sin. And what sin did, it brought the curse of death upon this world, the curse of death upon us. So God created this earth good. He created us. He created this earth without death. He created it without evil. He created Adam and Eve as innocent. But as I said, there's a difference between being innocent and being holy. So when Adam and Eve first chose to rebel against God's commandments, and they turned away from God in their hearts. That was the downfall of the human race. But the good thing is that Adam and Eve, being in a body of flesh and blood, there would be the provision of salvation. And that is why it's so important to focus on Jesus coming to die on the cross for your sins and Jesus coming to rise from the dead. That is God manifested on this earth to bring salvation to mankind. It reveals the sin of mankind, reveals how people hated God. They hated God so much they wanted to kill God. They wanted to destroy God. You know, Jesus spoke the words of heaven. He spoke and revealed the kingdom of God. And all that he did, he came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to heal the sick. He came to save sinners. He came to bring forgiveness. But we see that religion stood against him because it said, no, you're not following our ideas of what true religion is. But religion had fallen into darkness. It had fallen into false religion. And that's why just being religious, as I said, doesn't mean you're becoming holy, becoming ready to go to heaven. So the good news of salvation is that the price of salvation has been paid. It's a free gift. But we've got to let it change our hearts. We've got to let it change our lives. We've got to submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. So the way of salvation is open for all of us. And that's why we have to preach the message, persuade people, and call them to make their choice. Which path are you going to be on? Who are you going to believe? Who are you going to trust? Who are you going to follow? Which path are you on? And it's happening in every person's life. And we're coming to this focal point of death. Because at the point of death, are you holy or are you unholy? Are you going to be accepted by God or rejected by God? So the good news is that salvation is offered to people throughout their lives in various ways. And the more understanding or the more light we have of God, the greater responsibility we have. Because God is speaking to us and he's giving us truth, he's giving us understanding. So the more opportunities we have to know God, the higher our responsibility is to walk in that light and follow him. And that's why the demons, they have no excuse for their evil. They had the perfect light of God and rejected it, so there is no forgiveness for them. But we are born in darkness. We're born in a world that's full of sin. We're born in a world of evil. And God knows the responsibility that we have because he's spoken to us in different ways. Now, a couple of stories will just illustrate the love, the mercy, and the kindness of God to save people. When I was doing missionary work in Nepal, I was doing one pastor's meeting and I met a nurse. And this nurse told me this story because she had been working in the ward, basically with those who were on their deathbed, those who were dying, those who had not long to live, terrible cancers, all kinds of terrible diseases like that. And she was a strong Christian and she tried to witness to these various dying patients. And she told me the story of how she was asked to look after one man. He had terrible cancer and he had blood coming from his nose, blood coming from his ears, even blood coming from his eyes. The doctor said he's only got minutes to live. So she, talking to him, quickly explained about how Jesus Christ had come from heaven, died on the cross for people's sin, so that whoever accepts and believes in Jesus, they can be forgiven, they can be made holy, ready to go to heaven. And he asked him, have you ever heard about Jesus Christ? And he said, no, I'm a Hindu. So she gave him that very quick message, what Jesus Christ has done. And she said to him, do you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the forgiveness, what he's done for you on the cross, shedding his holy righteous blood, that he is the sacrifice for you. No animal sacrifice can take away your sins. It's actually the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you want to accept Jesus as your Savior? And he said, yes. She said, I want to lead you in a prayer. And she led him in a salvation prayer. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Jesus Christ, coming into my heart, And as he was praying, the blood was flowing, as I said, out of his mouth, out of his nose, out of his eyes, out of his ears. And she led him in the prayer and said, Amen. He said, Amen, and died. That man was made holy through the blood of Jesus Christ. He was ready and prepared. He was made ready to go to heaven. That is the love, the mercy of God, reaching out to a person who did not know him, who did not know how to be forgiven of his sins. But God sent that nurse to share the message of salvation with that man who had no understanding. And he said, Yes, God, I accept you. And God says, whoever accepts him, he will not turn away. Anyone who comes to him, God will not turn away. God is a loving God. He's waiting for people. He's calling for people. He's pleading with people. And why was God's mercy so great for that person? That's because that person had not heard the truth. But soon as he heard it, he accepted it, he said amen, and died. Okay, another story. This was from a friend that I was doing evangelism work with. He was from India. And he was telling me this incredible story, that where he was living, there was a man who had the worst reputation as being an evil man. He had lived an immoral life. He had been a womanizer. He'd been chasing all the women. And he had, I don't know how many wives he had, but it was a number of wives he had gone through. Anyway, he caught a sexual disease. And he had to have his private parts removed. And all he had was a little pipe. So, at that state of humility and brokenness, he told his wife, I don't know which wife it was, but it was the present wife, go and call these Christian preachers to come. And they came, and he said, I want to repent of all my sins. I confess all my sins. He confessed to them all the evil life he had lived, and now he wants to change. So in some ways, again, that was the great mercy and love of God to allow him to be humbled through that terrible disease, that he would seek God. And he was actually in a lot of pain, terrible pain. And the whole house basically stunk. He had a bad smell because of the disease, and the place stunk. And my friend went there, and he said, I can never forget that smell. It stunk out the whole house. Anyway, after sharing with him for a few days the Bible, he said, I want to be water baptized. And they said to him, shall we just sprinkle the water on your head? Is that sufficient because you are so unwell? And he said, no, I want you to carry me to the pond, and I want you to water baptize me in the pond. Now, what is water baptism? It's a way of symbolizing breaking off your old life, entering the new life of following Jesus Christ. It symbolizes the death and resurrection of Christ. Going into the water symbolizes how Jesus died for us. Coming out of the water symbolizes resurrection, how Jesus rose from the dead, entering a new life. And he wanted to take that public stand that I'm going to become a Christian, I'm going to be water baptized. So they water baptized him. A few days later, my friend got the message that he had died, this man with the disease. So he had to go and collect the body, him and his brother. And when they collected the body, this man was so rotten, he broke in half. At the stomach, it all fell to bits. So that is gross and that is terrible. But that man, so unclean in the eyes of the world, a hopeless man, an evil man, he had become holy. He had become holy through the blood of Jesus, through repenting, through turning away from his darkness and turning to the light of God and receiving forgiveness. Again, it was the mercy of God. So that's another person who's there in heaven, standing with God as holy. And when God forgives you, your past sin is forgotten. It's removed. It's cast into the sea. It's like it's crushed under the cross of Jesus Christ. The person is totally forgiven. So becoming holy before God is so important. But when we have the truth, when we know the truth, we have to live it. We have to follow God. We have to pursue God. We have to turn away from sin. So that's why, just in closing, I want to give a quick list of sins that we have to turn away from. Number one, especially for New Zealand, is sexual sins. We have to know that God created marriage to be holy, marriage to be righteous. We also have to know that homosexuality is evil in the eyes of God. Today, there's a big push to say that homosexuality is normal and it's all right, and anyone can choose to live that lifestyle. Just let them choose to live how they want to live. Obama, the president of America, is pushing it. The United Nations, it's one of their agendas. And of course, here in New Zealand, many the politicians have gone the same way, which is the way of the world. But all of those people, when they die, they will see that they're unholy. They're not ready to go to heaven, and they will be cast into hell. So unless a person like John Key, who has voted for it, and all the majority of New Zealand politicians voted for it, when they die, they stand before God, or their spirit leaves their body, they will not be able to stand in the perfect holiness of God because there's darkness and evil inside of them. They've voted on the side of evil. So even though they're popular with the New Zealand people and the New Zealand country as it compromises, you know, it compromised with prostitution, compromised with adultery, with abortion, and as they compromise with their sins, they just think these things are normal. But in fact, they are evil, they are wicked, they are unholy. So I wouldn't want to be any of those politicians having to stand before God, and God says, why did you vote for these evil things, pulling New Zealand into this path of evil and wickedness? And they will not be able to stand in God's perfect light. They will cringe, they will cry, they will fall out, they will weep, they will gnash their teeth. That's what Jesus said about the punishment that awaits those who are unholy. So of course, a person, they have great influence. Many of the Hollywood film actors, they are rich, they're famous, they have big influence, but they have immoral lives, they have broken marriages, they live sinful lives, they indulge in lust and sinful things, they live the party scene, the drinking scene, and they are unholy. They are not ready to go to heaven. But we have to know that God created marriage to be holy. It's a holy covenant before God. And in some ways, Hollywood has deceived the Western world, but in some ways, Bollywood is going the same path, and Bollywood is going to be in danger of deceiving the Indian people, breaking down the marriage importance of marriage. So you see these rich Indian girls dancing away with not much clothes on, and it's becoming infected more and more in the Bollywood scene. So that's how the devil deceives people, makes them unholy. And they can be rich and they can be famous and they can lead millions of people to hell, and they can, when they stand before God, they'll have blood on their hands, blood of millions of people. That's why I tremble to be in John Key's position, unless he repents, unless he gets right with God. He would just think, oh, I'm a good man, I'm a nice man, I'm doing what the people want, and the people voted me in. Yes, the people will vote against God. The people will crucify Jesus. The people will speak against Jesus. When Jesus came and spoke against evil, the people hated him. That's what he said in the book of John. He said, the world won't hate you, but it will hate me, because I tell them that what they do is evil. So we've got to see that Jesus Christ was rejected by the world. He was rejected by evil people because they were not holy. And the same thing is happening today in New Zealand, because New Zealand is becoming an unholy nation. Many people are rejecting Jesus Christ. But at the same time, there are those who realize the truth. They realize that God is the judge. God is going to judge me. He's the righteous judge. He's the judge of the living and the dead. God is the supreme creator. And if God commands me to turn away from my sins, I better do it. I better have a faithful marriage. I better have a true marriage. I better throw away evil desires. Temptations will come, but you've got to say no to those temptations because you fear God. How am I going to stand before God on Judgment Day if I'm living an unholy life? No. So we've got to honor the covenant of marriage. Marriage is holy. It specifically says, the word of God is that marriage is holy. God created marriage. He established marriage. It's holy. We've got to have it deep in our hearts. So we turn from that sin. Okay, other quick sins is like hatred, anger, murder, bitterness, jealousies in our hearts, unforgiveness, not being willing to forgive people. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, he prayed for those who had murdered him, persecuted him. put him on the cross. He said, Father, forgive me. These were the people that were crying out for him to be killed. They wanted him to be killed, but his prayer was, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And that's the attitude we have to follow, because how can we expect God to forgive us of our sins if we're not willing to forgive other people? Oh, I want God to forgive me, but I won't forgive my neighbor because they said that bad word against me. No, we have to come to God's light, God's holiness, and say, well, if God's going to forgive me of all my sins, I'm going to have a forgiving attitude towards other people. And that's why Jesus said, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Forgive them. How do you do it? You can do it because of God's love. And you can say, God, you've forgiven me of all my sins. I can forgive my enemy. I forgive them. I release them. Yes, what they did was wrong. We don't accept the wrong thing they did, but we forgive them. And we pray for their salvation. We pray, God, forgive them. We also have to honor our parents. That's one of God's commandments. We have to love our parents. We have to pray blessing on their parents. Even if our parents make mistakes and problems, we still have to honor them, believe God's blessing for them. Turn away from lying, of course. Jesus is the truth. The devil is the father of lies. Turn away from stealing. The devil, again, is a thief. But God is a giving, loving God. Turn away from speaking foul words, careless words. It's amazing how many people, they just swear every second word. Meet some people and it's their so lifetime habit, just swearing and pouring out filth. But when you come to God, you see, God has to change your tongue. He has to change your heart, first of all, because your mouth speaks what comes out of your heart. So if you have a clean heart, you will begin being convicted when you speak evil words. And you'll say, no, I've got to change those words. Sometimes bad words, they slip out, and we have to be forgiven, and God's grace and mercy is there. But if we don't want to change, we just stay unholy. So we have to let God change us. God, change my heart. We have to turn away from our pride. Pride is what caused the devil really to fall away from God. He was too proudful. He wanted to boast himself. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to be the strongest, the best. And that's how the devil fell from heaven. And that's unfortunately how many people in the world, they become prideful because of their success. That could be sports success, political success, career success, financial success. They think, I'm so good at what I can do, I'm so successful, that pride comes into their hearts, and they don't realize that they can drop dead tomorrow. And who's going to get all that wealth or all that fame? You can be the most richest man in the cemetery. How's that going to help you? It's not going to save you, because you can't buy a ticket to heaven with your money once you're dead. You're a lost soul. So we don't want to be proudful by our blessings. We want to be humble before God. We want to be humble in our attitude, humble before God. Disrespecting the Lord, taking the Lord's name in vain. How many people use Jesus' name as a curse word? Many people, they speak the name of Jesus in anger as a curse word. How are they going to stand before God? They're going to see that they're unholy. In the commandments, God actually said, I will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses my name. So everywhere, there are Westerners speaking the name of Jesus as a curse word. They don't speak the name of Buddha or the name of Muhammad as a curse word. They speak the name of Jesus as a curse word. And how are they going to stand before God? They'll be unholy. Rebellion. It's an attitude of rebellion. Rebellion towards the gospel. Then we have the sin of witchcraft. You know, because of the devil's influence and people not fully turning to God's power, people are easily turning to the devil's power. Sorcery, interpreting omens, casting spells, being a medium, spiritist, consulting the dead spirits, and all kinds of witchcraft practices are being done. Horoscopes, superstitions, all these kind of witchcraft things, which are counterfeit works, really devil's works. And that's why we have to repent of the false devil's power and turn to the living God's. Then we have false religions and cults. Anyone can start up a religion tomorrow by preaching something, and they'll get some followers and they can build it into a religion. But is it going to save them? Is it the truth? So there's certain things we have to know about the true God. The true God is not an idol. You can't make an idol of God, worship it, and say that's God. In heaven, there are no idols because God's there. So when you walk around heaven, you're not going to bow or pray to an idol. The living God is there. So if someone made an idol in heaven, they would have to be cast out and thrown into hell because they're making a false god. So when people on this earth think that they can make their own gods, make their own idols, bow down to them, worship them, they are making man-made gods. And all who make man-made gods and worship idols will be separated from the true living God. So we have to realize, again, God is holy. How can I make an idol and call this a god when the God, the true God, created the whole universe? Now, this is how the Indian people have been deceived the most. India is the biggest idol-worshipping nation in the world. So, of course, you can't tell this to many people. They'll get angry with you. How dare you speak about my idol against my idols? But what they've got to see is the holiness of God, the power of God, the glory of God. They've got to see that heaven is a holy place. You can get drunk and you can worship an idol, and that idol won't tell you to repent of being a drunkard. The idol will accept you in your sin. So the idols will accept you if you're a greedy person and you want to go to the idol and get more money. The idol will accept you. But if you want to come to the true God, you're coming to a God who will say, I am holy, I am righteous. And if you want to come to the true God, you have to repent. You have to change. You have to make sure of your salvation. You have to become holy yourself. So that's the difference between the true almighty God and man-made gods. Okay, the next sin that I would mention is the sin of denying Jesus Christ, because Jesus himself, when he was preaching, he said, you will die in your sins if you do not believe I am the one I claim to be. And the people said, who are you, Jesus? Who do you claim to be? And he said, I've been revealing it all the time, but you haven't been accepting it. He was doing his miracles. He was revealing people who he is, but people were turning against him. But Jesus Christ, he is the only way to God, the only one who can forgive you of your sins, the only one who can give you eternal life, who's the only one who came from heaven and can give you a place in heaven. Jesus is the light of the world. Whoever follows him will not walk in darkness. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the eternal Son of God, who is equal to God. And through becoming a human being, he humbled himself, became one of us. He died, he rose from the dead, and he is the final judge. And we will all stand before Jesus Christ on the day of judgment. He is the ruler of God's kingdom, the second person of the Holy Trinity. And it's calling upon the name of Jesus that saves us. And the last sin I will mention is what we call the sin of backsliding. It's you come to God, but then you fall back into the world. And that's very serious, because most of the Western world is full of people who said, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus. They start, but they don't finish. They turn away from God. They become bitter, and they become enemies of God. They become enemies of the gospel. And there's so many people who started to follow Jesus, but they fall back. And I think, what was wrong? Did they get properly saved in the first place? Well, some of them did, some of them didn't. Some of them were just half compromising. They didn't fully repent of their sin. They sort of said, oh, Jesus, forgive me, and I just take Jesus into my life, but I'm really going to live for myself. It's like Hindus who say, I'll just take Jesus as one of the gods. I'll have Jesus along with everything else. And yes, I've got Jesus, but I've got all the other gods. And many people in New Zealand are like that. Oh, I'll take Jesus, but they don't change their lifestyle. They don't repent. So, oh yeah, I'll go to church on Sunday, but Saturday night, Friday night, I'll be in the nightclubs drinking and partying and living for myself. And that's backsliding. People who start to follow God, but they don't finish. And that's why Jesus said, count the cost. If you're going to follow me, you might have to face persecution, or actually you will face persecution. The godly will be persecuted by the evil. And it's always happened throughout history, because the devil hates God, and those who are wicked hate the righteous. Those who are living in darkness hate those who are going to live in light. So that's why Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father, and I will deny you before angels. So you say, oh yes, I'll be a Christian, but I'll just be a secret Christian. I won't tell my friends that I'm a Christian. I'll just joke with them, the jokes of the world. So really, you're not a true follower of Christ. You're just taking Jesus as one of the gods and just putting Jesus there, but you're not taking him as the Lord and Savior of your life. And that's why I've been preaching this message that if you want to go to heaven, you've got to see the holiness of God. God is a supreme being. He's a mighty being. He's powerful. He's great. And that's why there's going to be many people who were very religious, but when they come before the God, the true God, on the day of judgment, they're going to see that they were evil. And Jesus will say to them, depart from me. Go to this place where the devil and his angels are going. It's a place of eternal punishment. But to the righteous, he will say, come, share my Father's happiness. Come, you are saved. You are the child of God. So this is it. Are you a friend of God, or are you an enemy of God? Are you on the path of holiness, or is actually your life unholy? Is your life still an abomination to God? And in the eyes of people, you can look very good. Many people look very good outwardly, but their lives are an abomination to God. But then we have some people who know they've lived a sinful life. They know they're wicked, and they cry out to God, forgive me, save me, and they're saved. They go to heaven because they repent. They cry out, and God forgives them all of their sins. So we see the perfect balance of God's love. He loves you. He wants to save you. He wants to save the whole world. We also see God's holiness, his righteousness, his justice. He doesn't forgive you if you're a hypocrite. He doesn't forgive you if you're just a pretender. He only saves you if you are a true follower, if you're a true Christian. And I think in New Zealand, I've been doing preaching here for many years, so I've seen certain things. I've seen that many people have only become weak believers. Maybe they only accepted a soft message. But I like to preach a hard message to challenge you to become 100% follower of God. Become a true follower of God. Because one day we will see the difference between those who are holy and those who are unholy. So that's my challenge to you. If you know you're not saved, you have to cry out to God for forgiveness. If you know that you are unholy in the eyes of God, you have to ask Jesus to forgive you, to cleanse you. And that man who was dying, the nurse led him in a simple prayer and he accepted. He said yes to Jesus, then he died. And in some ways it is simple to accept salvation. You've just got to put your faith in Jesus. You've got to say, yes, Lord, I accept you. You're going to be my Lord. You're going to be my master. You're going to be my king. I'm going to be devoted to you. A true devoted person of God. I'm going to be a prayerful person. That's why as soon as you accept Jesus, you should become a prayerful person every day. As soon as you wake up in the morning, you pray. Before you go to sleep at night, you pray. You're praying. You're praying all the time. You're walking with Jesus all the time. You're knowing that he is with you. And when you do wrong, your heart is convicted. You say, God, forgive me, cleanse me, change me. I'm going to follow you every day. So you're walking under the conviction of God. You're walking knowing that the eyes of God are watching you. And when your friends say, ha ha, I heard you're become a Christian, you say, yes, I rejoice. And if they mock you, laugh at you, rejoice. Praise God, my treasures are in heaven. The people mocked Jesus. They laughed at him. But who's going to be laughing on the day of judgment? So this message is a challenge to you. You've got to be a radical follower of Jesus Christ. No more half-hearted followers of Christianity that backslide and become weak followers. We need wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ. Is that you? Are you going to follow God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Are you going to be saved? Are you going to be holy, set apart from God, for God? Are you going to be forgiven? Are you going to be washed clean by the blood of Jesus? Let's pray. Lord, thank you, Lord. We just pray that these words of salvation just go deep into every person's heart. Lord, you know if anyone here is saved or not saved. So Lord, we just ask you, Lord God, that anyone who's not saved, deep conviction in their hearts, so they will cry out to you and say, yes, Jesus, I want you to save me. And that if that is you tonight, you should be saying that in your heart. And you should make a commitment to Christ today. I want to follow Jesus today. I want to follow him as my Lord and Savior. Not just being a half Christian or a weak Christian or a secret Christian, but being a wholehearted follower of Jesus Christ. And if you have been backslidden, or you have got sin in your life that you need to confess to God, if you want to commit your life to Jesus right now, I'll give you that opportunity. Maybe you're not about to die because you've got blood coming out of your nose and your ears and your mouth, but we are all going to die some stage. And today is your opportunity. If you just need to recommit your life to Jesus, just ask you just to raise your hands now as a sign to God. And as you raise your hands to God, just surrender your heart to Him. It's just between you and God. But if you need to surrender your heart right now, raise your hands to Jesus. And Jesus is seeing you. And just begin to pray, Lord, forgive me. Begin to pray with, I'll even say a prayer that you can say. You just say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Forgive me of my sins. Make me holy. Make me clean. Make me pure. Cleanse my heart with the holy blood of Jesus. I confess my sins to God. For God to make me righteous. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. Carried my sins and died for me. The holy righteous blood of Jesus. Wash my heart clean. I receive the peace of God into my heart. I receive the love of God into my heart. I receive Jesus into my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my King. I will be a true follower of God. I will be a true Christian. Thank you for giving me my place in heaven. I accept my salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.